We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
Heat win! What's going on, everybody? The fist pump ain't what it used to be. I don't know. I just don't have it like I used to. But anyway, the Miami Heat win by 10 against the New Orleans Pelicans, last game before the All-Star break, back to 500 on the way to the second half of the season. It's clean slate time, right? We come back from the All-Star break. We're 0-0. Everything starts over. All the offensive issues are erased, and we're all going to have a good time. Okay, maybe not, but at the very least, they showed up tonight. Jimmy showed up tonight. Jimmy showed up and showed out. He showed why he was at times the best player in the NBA Finals last year on the court with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I mean, the entire game, every time the Pelicans made a push, Jimmy stopped them. Like, I mean, sometimes almost single-handedly. Yeah, he got a lot of help from Goron. He got some help, a lot of help from Kelly, especially in that first half. Kind of disappeared in the second half, but I think he played solid defense. Andre Iguodala came up big in that fourth quarter. But overall, it was Jimmy fucking Butler. And, I mean, it's just amazing to watch this guy night in, night out, just get buckets when the team needs him. So go ahead, bring me out, Brass. We're going to celebrate a big win, and we're going to find out what everybody is drinking tonight. Love the lounge music, and we're back. And we have our super special guest tonight, Will Manso. What's going on, Will?
Thank you. I'll rep every Cuban. I'll be Sedano.
Please don't be Sedano, because Sedano yells at us and he's super mean. Like, you know, we're going to the All-Star break. We're limping into this. Like, we're just trying to get through this last hangover time. We're going to have a great time tonight. But what are you drinking tonight, Will?
I keep it classy. I am drinking a Pinot Noir in a red solo cup.
Yes.
Very, very, very classy. Because I don't like glass in my room because I get worried the cat's going to knock it over overnight if I leave it somewhere. So red solo cup is the way to go.
Listen, with that cup, you are invited to the cookout. Just letting you know.
I'll be there.
There you go. I'm on the Tito's and Sprite tonight, as you know, my usual thing. Tiffany Meeks, what are you drinking tonight?
I got a little whiskey and tea, red Solo cup.
By the way,
Oh, 3 for 3.
We had, the top shelf is at the cookout right now. Mm.
You need a sponsor. You need this to be like the red Solo cup hangover time.
Right. Yes, we do.
If you know people,
listen.
Right.
If anybody out there knows somebody, listen. Now, this, I will say, this is eco-friendly. This is a reusable red Solo cup. So, I'd look out for the environment. And plus, I don't like taking out the trash that much. Brass, what are you drinking down there in the corner? I know you ain't got no Solo cup. You got some fancy martini glass.
I don't have a martini glass. I got an old-fashioned and an old-fashioned glass, Alf. Yes.
So. Of course.
An old-fashioned, huh? Mm-hmm.
Good old-fashioned win tonight, everybody. Let's go.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Just
Tiffany.
Old. Just sounds like slavery.
Not again. Okay.
I'm going to skip Siobhan. I'm going to go to Siobhan last because there's something special I want to ask Siobhan tonight. Moose, what are you drinking tonight?
Man, you already know. Got the whiskey got ginger ale. We're celebrating a win. I'm going to hit you one time with a drip drop.
Drip drop.
Oh, sorry. Manso, you don't know the rules. Manso, when Moose hits us with the drip drop, you got to drink.
Oh, is that? Oh my, well, as much as he says it to me, I'm going to be drinking all night.
That's true.
Welcome.
And speaking of the drip drop, Siobhan, what you wearing tonight?
What's
not
up?
Just what you drinking? What you wearing?
Drip drop merch.
Look at that.
Go take it over. What's the command in the chat? This was super cool to do. Shout out to Moose and Brian. So yeah, drip drop merch on the lookout.
Okay, and who designed that shirt?
Oh, I did.
Huh. Okay. I'm saying take your shine right now.
Oh,
you know?
Seriously. He killed it.
Yeah. It's not getting good justice right now. Yeah, I did. Colors and the fine stuff. That was me.
Beautiful. With an assist from Brian Goins. Hey, but we still don't know what you're drinking tonight. Oh, what are you drinking tonight?
Drinking tonight, we got some Jose and ginger ale. And I'll do a couple shots if we feel like it.
Oh, double fisted for the Heat win. Headed into All-Star break. I thought we should have done a drip drop drinking game, but it's Thursday. People got to work tomorrow. I mean, I got to work, but I can limp in that motherfucker. So I work from home. I bring the laptop to the bed sometimes. I got no shame. There have been days up till about 11:30. I got the laptop next to me in the bed. But anyway, especially doing this damn show. Will.
Yes.
Great win for the Heat tonight without Bam Adebayo. And yes, the Pelicans were without Zion. So to me, it was like an evenly matched. It was an even matchup tonight. And you just had, I mean, I don't know how much you can talk about this game without talking about Jimmy's fourth quarter performance. This whole game, and especially those clutch minutes in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the fourth quarter for Jimmy was, I think, the closest thing we've seen to finals Jimmy since the finals, right? I mean, that was finals Jimmy. Just put your foot down, take over the team, and say, come follow me. To the basket, jump shots, I mean, getting fouled, the finishing, steals, the defense, the stuff we saw in the playoffs and the finals run last year. That was Jimmy effing Butler. I mean, that's what we saw. But I also, you mentioned his name early, though, and we got to give a shout out to Gorn, because when they opened the fourth, Spo didn't have Jimmy in. He gave him those minutes to rest. And I thought, oh, my God, here comes the run, because who is going to take over for Miami in this 3 or 4 minute stretch? And Gorin made about 3 or 4 baskets. I think he made 3 in that stretch before Jimmy came back, where it kept it at like 6-7 instead of being down like a tie game where Jimmy came back. And that was a huge help down the stretch. I mean, Jimmy did it all. There aren't enough words to explain what a badass he was in those final 6 minutes, 7 minutes of the game.
I mean, we saw the turnaround jumper. We saw, you know, driving to the lane, getting fouled, getting to the line, making the shots at the line. Like, we saw the whole Jimmy bag, hitting those passing lanes, getting turnovers, doing just about everything the team needed him to do, Tiff. And we missed that last game. where, you know, you got it's 4 points with 6 minutes left, and everyone's just praying to God that you know, that Lollipop Harry Lollipop misses some 30-foot three-pointers, which he didn't, of course. But you know, talk a little bit about Jimmy, like what he brings to the table, and no matter no Bam. Tyler was off, Duncan was off, but you always just feel good when you have a guy like Jimmy Butler on the floor.
I think that's like what I'm always going back to, is that we got to do everything humanly possible to keep him healthy. Like he's the season. If anything happens to Jimmy, it's done. Yeah. We got to keep him in bubble wrap because he gives us what we think he's going to give us. He goes out there and he gives us 100%. Even if the shot is off, he's doing everything else to win the game. And basically tonight, he got help. I mean, come on, we're talking about Jimmy, but let's go ahead, put a little respect on Kelly's name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because guess what?
K.O.
He's all we got.
All we got, all we needed tonight for a half.
He was all we had, and Kelly stepped up in the absence of Bam, and guess what, his defense was actually pretty decent.
Yeah,
I'm not honestly, Siobhan, and that's what I wanted to get to next. The defense, there have been a number of games throughout this stretch where the Heat have won 7 of 8, where they've held teams under 100 points, even in losses before this stretch. Like, they are consistently keeping teams under 100 points or in the low 100s, where the average this season, I think, is 110, 112 points. Is it all a function of a slow pace, or are they doing things defensively that just kind of disrupt other teams and take them out of their rhythm? Because I thought they took New Orleans out of their rhythm a lot tonight.
So both of those things. So by controlling pace, we take teams out of their rhythm, right? And you're right. We've seen a concerted effort from Kendrick to Tyler's defense has improved. Duncan's spatial awareness, his court awareness has improved so much. There was a play today where he was a little erratic, but he got there. He covered from the right corner to the left wing, back to the right corner, like bumped in the middle. And then Kelly, you know, we were kind of talking in a chat one time about, you know, the build, the makeup of this team. And I'm of the opinion that we're going to have to beat people defensively, right? Like, we're not going to be able to, we don't have the talent, and it is perfectly okay. We have awesome players. We have an awesome system, but we don't have like that flat raw talent to go out and, you know, try to outscore people. So we have to be a good defensive team, especially on the nights when the offense isn't clicking. So it's been really pleasant to see. This team tends to peak at the right time, or tend to trend in the proper direction at the right time. And that's defensively too. And the pace and the stamina and our conditioning allows us to tighten the reins at the end of the game defensively, where a lot of teams tend to lack because of, you know, exhaustion.
Moose, we didn't have the Fox Sports announcers tonight.
We didn't have any announcers.
Then we had Kenny the Jet Smith just jinxing everything. Like, every time he highlighted the Heat's defense, like, they gave up an offensive rebound, put back, or a three. Every time he highlighted the Heat's offense, it was a turnover. but, you know, overall, what were your takeaways from the game? And what did you think of KZ tonight? I thought first half was terrible, and second half, he showed some things.
You know what? KZ had an up-and-down night, but at least we could say that I saw some progress. And, again, he's active on the defensive passing lanes. He's getting up on people. He was a little bit better. There was no glitches tonight, at least none that really stood out to a point where I was like, all right, get him off the court. But one thing that I definitely wanted to hit on, and actually Will brought it up earlier, I really wanted to bring up those Goran minutes, especially right there in that second half when he got us those clutch buckets and really kept us in this game. I keep saying it every single time. There's nothing like having a true point guard that can just take control of the game, keep the pace where you need it, let you get your second win, and then get the guys back out there again and start getting things back, you know, rolling again. We don't have enough of that. Unfortunately, we are relying way too much on Goran for that right now. But again, tonight was all about Jimmy Buckets, our all-star. Yes, he's an all-star, no matter what they say. Our all-star played like an all-star at the end and won us that game.
So, Will, when it comes to this team and the fan base, they've been crushing Kelly Olynyk lately, right? And I felt like Kelly read everybody's tweets. And I've been I listen, I'm hard on Kelly. I feel like if you're 7 feet tall, you should rebound way better than he does. Tonight he had 10 rebounds. You know, thank you very much, Kelly. In the absence of Bam, you know, he did much better than he normally does as far as rebounding is concerned. But, you know, I also say that this team is just better when he's on the floor and they need him to shoot. So your takeaways from this, not just this game from Kelly, but the first half of the season from Kelly Olynyk.
Well, you said, you know, fans, and look, we're all fans and we all get irrational, and we all, in the spirit of the game and when the game's going on, you said, oh, come on, shoot the ball, rebound the ball, pass the ball. You're screaming at the TV or whatever. And KO is as frustrating as all of them because he is a 7-footer and he's got a lot of talent. We know he can shoot. And sometimes he just has these moments where it's befuddling. Like, what is he doing? Is he not passing? He's not shooting. He gets kind of lost in the shuffle. But you just said it. I mean, statistically, when you look at KO, the Heat are better with KO on the floor. KO tends to do little things that Spo will say don't always show up on the stat sheet. And, of course, as fans, we look at the stat sheet. We look at it and say, wait a minute, he only had 5 rebounds, you know, or he only did this. And we get frustrated. But KO is a significant part of what the Heat need to be successful, unless they make a deal. And look, there's still room to make a deal. We know that the Heat are always going to be looking to ways to improve, but I still feel KO is going to have a significant role in this team. Sure, if you drop another Jay Crowder type player in your lap and the Heat make a move and that's what you move with toward playoff time, great. But KO showed tonight, and he has shown it other times, and the guys are comfortable around them in this system. He has been in long enough to understand that they need KO to play the way he does, and he can. And maybe at times it's inconsistent, but I do think as fans, me included, we can be a little hard on KO sometimes because he's actually better, I think, than people give him credit for.
And I agree with you. And Will, if you, I don't know if you can do this, if you can turn your mic up. Some people are saying the mic is low. Let me see. I hear you just fine, but there have been a couple of people saying that the mic is low.
Let me just move closer.
Yeah, maybe just yell. See, this is where Sedano comes in. He just yells.
Sedano's got me beat. Sedano can just, once he starts yelling at you, his veins start coming out of his head and he starts going crazy, man.
So yeah.
Let me know if that's better. If that's better, I'm a little closer.
I can hear you. Chat, let us know if that's a little bit better. We're going to get to a couple plays from Siobhan. We're going to come up with name. Yeah, there he goes. There he is. We're going to come up with the names for these breakdowns from Siobhan and Frankie. I wanted to call Frankie's Let's Be Frank, and he got really upset. I guess he doesn't like being called Frank, which makes me want to call it Let's Be Frank even more because I'm a dickhead. Siobhan, let's go through some of these plays real quick. And these are we've been talking about the Heat's offensive struggles. Tonight they scored over 100 points, but to me they really only had 2 decent offensive quarters. But go ahead, Siobhan. Talk about some of the offensive plays that you saw tonight.
So before we start, right, so the first one, right? So this is just highlighting how – pause it for a second, Brass.
Just start it, right? Yeah, we'll start it. you wanted to say something before, so.
Oh, yeah. I was just talking about just the diversity with which we can play offense, the way that we can use the full – you know, width and space on the floor if we choose to. Go ahead and start the first one. So we just have some dribble handoffs and some cuts, but the difference from this one as opposed to the other three, we are flowing and we have guys cutting from one side, swinging all the way through, right? Pause it. Almost, I can't tell if it's paused or not.
Yeah, that's it. Do you want to see the clip again?
No, I'm cool. We can go to the second one.
Okay, we'll go to the next one.
Here, we still have the same type of motion, but we're occupying one side of the floor. Traditionally, you would say that these two guys on the right should be, you know, maybe doing some type of action, but maybe their inaction is keeping their defender inactive too. So we have Duncan coming through what could have been an elevator, but they didn't close it. And then this kind of like double back screen that gets Precious open on the same side of the floor. We're occupying guys on this side, and we still have these dudes occupied because they're hugged up on their guy. Go to the next one. And then here, right? So Jimmy triggers it, kicks it to Kelly. The three of them kind of cause havoc on the right side because we run so, pause it, we run so many different things out of this. So Jimmy is cut into the basket and then he vacates. There's nobody in help because the three of them, Duncan, Tyler, Kendrick, are all to the right. So they run their action. Jimmy vacates, go ahead. Jimmy vacates to the left. Boom. Duncan is able to slip. So when we use defense, when we use the space, we get good shots. And then this last play is what we look like when we don't get motion. We get stagnant. There's no cut. So we just have, boom. Gorn isn't, you know, making a penetrative dribble. He just dribbled, pick it up, kick it around, stat, nothing, you know, we don't have any motion, we don't have any fluidity. And then we get a spot up Iggy three. So when we run motion, when we use space, we look really good. This is why it's frustrating, in my opinion, when we don't.
I honestly, I love the fact that you showed three plays with motion, ball movement, like all the things that we saw last year. And then you showed that last play, which is so indicative of our droughts, where it's like
five, flies four, on a wall.
It's so befuddling because you see all of this and then just nothing.
Like, what yeah,
right.
It and that could be. We don't need Ross Rewind. That was good.
That was.
Thanks.
Rewind.
Siobhan, you know what I was thinking too when you watched the last play? It also could just be a byproduct of who's on the floor together.
Yes. Yeah. You know,
because if you really look at it, that last play, technically it was just Gorn and Kelly.
Yep. And then it's Iggy. When Jimmy's and, not on the floor.
Exactly. When first of all, don't disrespect Illinois's finest, but keep going.
If Jimmy's not going to drive, and then if Gorn isn't actually going to make penetrative dribbles, if he's just dribbling kind of just in space at the top, he does nothing. So
right.
Listen, and I thought that was super indicative of just how stagnant the Heat's offense could be. So that was great, Siobhan. You didn't do the Ron Rothstein impression that Frankie does.
I'm not going to.
She doesn't need it.
You got your own style. I was waiting for it.
Oh, drip drop. Oh, shit. I missed it. I feel like I'm delayed on this episode. I need to go back to my other laptop with the shitty camera. It's either I got a good camera and delays or a shitty camera and no delays. Either way. Someone said it's Frank. Yes, I think we're calling it Let's Be Frank with Frankie G, just to piss him off. We have a game show to play tonight. Actually, before I get even to the game show, I kind of want to talk about Precious. I thought he played a really good half. He did, you know, especially the first half. Moves to second half, not so much. He just didn't play. I don't think he played a lot in the second half. I think the Heat were just going to, Iggy was playing a lot.
He fell out of rhythm a little bit in the second half, but let's not take anything away from what he brought in the first half, those crucial defensive minutes. Listen, he's been playing really well, I would say maybe for the last week or so. We've definitely seen, you know, a really nice run for him where he's just really taking over that defensive role, backing up Bam in crucial minutes, especially, you know, tonight taking on a bigger role in that first half with Bam out. He's been steadily improving in ways that is very, very important for us in the long-term future. If he's going to be here for the rest of the season, that'll be something to monitor in the second half when we come back from All-Star break. But it's been very, very promising.
Yeah, I mean, I really thought he was aggressive. He there were sometimes he was a little bit too aggressive, and there was a lot of welcome to the NBA moments from like guys like Steven Adams, and it was like, dude, you ain't bigger than a lot of people in the
Hell
NBA.
No.
You ever notice Precious? I love Precious, by the way. But you ever notice that whenever he gets an offensive rebound, 100% of the time he goes up for the shot.
He's going right back up.
Even if there's four guys around him.
And honestly, I wish some of the other guys would do that, but
the complete opposite of what some of the other guys had.
Will, before we get to our game show, I wanna ask you to trash the TNT broadcast. You can do it here.
No, I mean, look, first of all, my favorite part was the underrated was Grant Hill was calling the game, and I love Grant Hill. He's a great, great person, but he's the most cliche, basic, you know, as far as when it comes to, you know, he just calls it like the simple, because you can tell he doesn't watch the teams, and I get it. When you are doing national games, a lot of times you don't watch every game like we watch every Heat game, but he said midway through the game, before his technical issues, he said, the Heat don't beat themselves. They're not the kind of team that makes mistakes. And I said, what the hell Heat team are you talking about? This team turns them over as much as anybody in the league. Yeah, this team beats themselves way too often. So he said, this team won't let you beat themselves. I'm like, oh, hell, they will let you beat them. They won't beat themselves. Trust me.
Friend of the show, Dos Menudo, said he sounds like a 2K announcer. Like, where it's just like cliches, just like
generic, that could be for anybody.
He does. Nice pass. Fucking Kenny.
He's been working on that shot all year.
Yes.
Kenny Smith was calling Iggy like one of our better shooters.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that?
What did he say? They shouldn't leave him open. Oh, they probably should.
Yes, they should.
Because they drive and kick, and they can kick out to the Tylers and Jimmy, even Andre. Right. No.
That's the way it works.
It's not the plan.
I want Brass to cut that no from Siobhan. Yeah, no, and I want to use that all the time. Like that should be a Heat Twitter.
But that's what you get when you get a national crew that doesn't watch the team. Like, the Heat aren't a sexy team this year. I know they made the finals, but they haven't been on national TV much. These guys haven't watched more than just some highlights of Heat games. They don't know anything about the Heat. They don't know the ins and outs. They don't know what Precious has done or any of these guys have done. They're going on just, you know, what they see.
Yeah, I can't blame them. Like, if you had me on any other post-game show, I'd be like, I don't know who the fuck is on the Hawks. Like, I just watched them two games in a row. I can't name the starting lineup. So,
I'm the same way. Listen. Yeah. Like, the Suns are great. I've watched, like, a half of their game this year.
Supposedly Chris Paul is there. Somebody, this is a rumor somebody told me. And they have Devin Booker.
That's it.
That's all I know. And then I find out, like...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Somebody like Vooch is in the All-Star game, and I'm like, I didn't even know he was playing well this year. But listen, it's not my job to cover the entire NBA.
And that's the thing. It's your job. It is your day job. I don't get it.
Ryan Cortez says, I didn't forget TNT leaving Heat Bucks during a blowout earlier this year.
That was the most disrespectful shit I've ever seen.
But you know what? Let's be honest.
Well, a lot of us left that game.
We left the game too.
We had to do a post game show.
We are not public servants.
I left that game. It happens.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Right, we're going to play a game with Will here that we played with the young ladies from the Dishes and Dimes podcast. We're going to play Who's That Heedle? All right, Brass, are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready. We need to give a little bit of context here because we didn't really explain the game last time. So we are going to show you a silhouette.
Very important.
It's better when we don't explain it. Just everyone's confused.
Yeah, I guess. But we're going to show you a silhouette of a player, multiple players, and you need to guess which Heat player it is. So okay. I will give you a hint. This is the first couple players here. They are championship winners with the Heat organization. So here we go.
Oh, so
we're
going to
play.
Doesn't have to be a current Heat player.
These are not current Heat players this time.
Okay.
So we're going to play Who's That Heedle?
Who's That Heedle?
Ooh.
Now, I know this is not going to be easy.
Mm. Who is this that? Is not...
I got one, maybe.
Mm. Yeah.
My God, that's.
And
that's
you said. You said that they definitely won championships.
This is a champion.
Oh, shit. Those ears look familiar.
I thought they were. Oh, I think I know.
I can't tell if the person, if this has got a gut or it's just the shadow. Or
like, that's what I'm trying to figure out too, Will.
Because it looks like it could be a little heavy person. I'm going to say Shane Battier.
Shane Battier. Okay. Oh,
it
okay.
looks like ears. Okay.
Any other guesses here?
Michael Doliak.
Gary.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Here we're going to reveal it now. Wow. Who had Doliak?
Steph. Or Tiff, sorry. I don't know who's Steph.
Tiff. Me.
That was impressive.
Boom, boom. Nice. Oh, how the turntables.
Listen, sometimes the shadows can be deceiving, all right? We're going to give you another one here.
Will, you're getting another one.
Here we go. We'll give you another one. This is another champion. So here we go.
Okay.
Who's That Heedle?
I could literally be anybody.
I mean, at this point, I'm just going to throw out names. I mean, how about Antoine?
Right. Like.
Well, I mean, Joel Anthony. I guess. I don't know if you could tell on yours, maybe you could tell by the hair. I don't know if it's a little blurry hair. On your side. Yeah. there's some cornrows on this.
Cornrows.
On this player. So just
Beasley.
But Beasley didn't win a championship.
Oh, no. Did you say that? Oh,
yeah. You said champions.
I can be UD.
It's gotta be UD.
Maybe young UD? Young UD?
Okay, let's find out who that Heedle is.
Oh my God, come on.
Tenderoni. Tenderoni.
You know what? Shout out. Hard 8 championship minutes right there.
Listen, yeah. A champion's a champion. All right. I don't know what to tell you. Dion Waiters is a freaking champion.
Yeah,
you know, so, you know, whatever. All right. So we're gonna do the same game, but we're gonna do someone who is a much more prominent figure with the Heat organization. But we're gonna check out the silhouette here. We'll see how it goes.
Who's That Heedle?
I know this one. I gave this one to Brad.
Yeah, Siobhan, you stay out of this.
What?
You stay out of this, Siobhan. You got us into this mess. This is a champion. Matter of fact, a two-time champion.
I have no idea. Looks like a comic book character or something, or like a cloud.
Looks like Bozo the Clown.
All right. Anything? Will, you give up? Oh, no, we lost Will. Oh, he's muted. He's muted. All right.
I said CB with his hat turned around backwards. That's all I got.
Okay. All right. Let's see who this is. King James.
Of course. Of course.
Lifting weights, man. Lifting weights.
Lifting something.
Two-time MVP.
Putting in work. Yeah. Putting in work.
Oh, right. What's Kyle Lowry?
Of course.
All right.
Of course.
So, hold on. I got a game for you. Hold on. Name this Heat player.
Norris Cole.
KZ Akpala.
Norris Cole.
No, I was going to say, that looks like Darrell Wright.
All right. We'll tell you what. Birdman. Oh, man. Oh. Damn it. I should have known. All right. All right. So enough of the Heat players. We're going to do one more, but we're not going to do Heat players. We're going to do media members.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Who's that media member?
All right. So I think we can all get on this. What media
Sedano.
Member
That's
do we
Sedano.
Think? That kind of looks.
I'm obligated to say Sedano for every answer.
Oh man, I don't know. Alf was thinking this was you actually. It kind of looks
Scott.
Like
Michael Scott.
Michael Scott. What's the difference?
Okay, well let's see who it is.
A woman. <Womantle. laughs>
Well done. Well done.
George Manzo.
One out of four. One out of four. That's better than last time.
No, that's Trae Young. That's Trae Young.
Yeah. Thanks for playing. Thanks for playing, Will.
Ninja Red CJ has been asking the whole time, wait, is that not Sedano? No, it's not. It's jacked up, man. Do not disrespect the legend Will Manso.
Donald's my guy, but he does love giving you guys a hard time. Like, he'll text me because I'll defend it. I'll be like, dude, what are you doing? He'll side text me like out of the tweet. He'll side text me like, I'm just giving these guys crap, like, because they think the Heat are so good. You know.
That's my favorite one.
Al K. Shroot back there.
Beats.
Wait, don't we have some for Will since he's like
Michael?
The nice?
We do. But here's the thing. I did some for Will, but it turns out he sort of looks like a young George Clooney. When we do it.
No, that's not. Well,
oh.
It's like
ER
Clooney.
You look like Facts of. No, he looks like Facts of Life Clooney.
That's right.
That is so obscure. He looks like Schmidt from my New Girl on that one.
Oh, hold up. The Facts of Life one was good. That one got me. I was on a delay there for a second. I apologize.
You're welcome, Moose.
Simple that obscure reference.
Love it.
I always get the guy from Modern Family, the guy from what's the guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. Ty Burrell.
I was in LA once and I went to a meeting and I was sitting in the station aired Modern Family and there was a poster behind me and I didn't know it. I was sitting on the couch in the waiting room and there was a poster of Modern Family behind me and this old lady walked by and she goes, is that you? And I thought, oh, like, no, that's the answer. She really thought I was like sitting in the lobby in front of my own Modern Family poster.
I mean, I would. Yeah.
I would have been like, yes, ma'am, that is me.
Wait till I get my drip drop shirt.
I have no shame. That's me.
Taking a picture is George Sedano. I have taken a picture of Sedano. I was at a charity event. And a guy said Sedano, and I didn't want to break his heart, so I took a picture with him. I texted Sedano, "Hey, if someone tags you like Matt Sedano, just
holy fuck."
You know what's weird? I think it's a little bit racist towards Cubans because I don't even think you guys look alike.
It's very. What?
What?
We have the thick eyebrows and the dark hair. You know.
Yeah, I feel like there's racism involved, and I'm upset that I played a part in it tonight. I feel like I should be better than that, and I'm not happy with myself.
Listen, we're both Cuban. We both have dark hair. We're both from Miami. We both like to eat. You know, it's common confusion, I guess.
I guess. And you guys have both done the post game show.
Brass.
God, you're so fucking quick, Brass. God damn it.
I don't even think he did anything. I think that's your original bit.
Hey, that's just me doing it. I think he just taped me doing it.
Nikias says, "I feel your pain." Because everyone thinks Nikias looks like every NBA player with a beard. So.
You see how there's all that racism involved in that?
Yeah, listen. Right. We do not subscribe to the stereotypes on Hangover Time. Actually, we do. We put on them all the time. I don't know if you want to throw up that Dark Knight, Brad.
No. Not really.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to ask.
Oh, now you got to do it. You got to show Will.
Oh. I'm getting brand new in front of company.
Tiff made me do it. She made me do it.
He left.
That's Derrick Jones Jr. this time. All right, guys. Let's get back to a little bit of basketball. You know me. I like to run a serious sports show. None of this tomfoolery. All right. So, Will, going into the All-Star break, coming out of the All-Star break, what do you see for the rest of this Heat season? And that includes, do they make a move or do they stand pat? And what is, I guess, like your prediction for the seed? Are they going to make the playoffs? Are they a four seed, a three seed?
No.
What do you see for the rest of the season?
I think, guys, my take with the Heat hasn't really changed. I still think they're a four seed. I still think, you know, Philly healthy and Milwaukee and the way Brooklyn's come together with Harden are probably, you could say, on paper, maybe not, you know, I guess in a series Miami could handle it. We saw that last year that they could play tough against anyone.
Given the distance is right now,
I still think that four seed is their likely spot. And to your first question, I do think that a trade is coming. I just don't see them. Look, Mo Harkless didn't work out. For whatever reason, it just didn't work out. I don't think he's going to have a role in this team all of a sudden in the second half. You hope Avery Bradley does, and I think they still have hope that he will and that he could be that perimeter defender and that clutch player that he's, you know, at times shown he could be as a veteran. I still think there's a role for him in the second half of the season when he's healthy and it hopefully stays healthy. But I think I think that there's a deal coming. I think there has to be. It may be no sexier than last year's Iggy J type deal, which turned out to be damn sexy. It turned out to be a really good deal. I think that type of deal they're looking to make, and I would expect them to make a move at some point before the deadline.
I need to clarify. Moose, were you calling Will a bad girl for calling the Heat a four seed, or were you
a little bit of both? First of all, fourth seed. Come on. Actually, no, I didn't even hear that. My dog decided to just bring her bed over.
On TV, you're always supposed to just keep going. You know, you're taught to keep going, but I've never been like giving analysis going bad girl.
Like a pro.
Constant and professional.
We keep you on your toes here.
Well,
you gotta put you through the ringer on HOT, you know? Hang on with that.
Welcome. You can come back anytime.
Cortez.
Right.
She is a good girl. And honestly, Will, you're not a bad girl. That was just terrible. I would like the cast of the show to treat you better. That was fucked
unless
up.
You want to be.
True.
I've heard much worse.
Tiff.
Yes.
The rest of the season, where do you see the Heat ending up, and do they make a move?
I think they have to make a move. Yeah, like this team is like plucky, but like
really
plucky.
Do you have a thesaurus like before every show? Plucky? You're like, what am I going to call the team tonight? Plucky.
No, but
a scout from the 1920s.
You know I wasn't allowed to be near the game back then.
Right. Damn it, Moose.
You know I couldn't be on the sidelines back then.
Go ahead, Tim.
Moose bringing up bad memories and shit.
Right. No, but seriously, this team is scrappy. They play hard. They got Jimmy. You know, they got Bam. Sometimes they got everybody else. So you got to make some sort of move, even if it's like a small move to kind of maybe shore up that backline defense. Because at this point, we got like 100 guards on this team. So somebody's going to.
None of them can dribble penetrate, which is
right. And I keep saying, if you got six guards, you got none.
Right. Oh, was that a play on words right there?
Yeah.
With the none?
No, it wasn't, right. But it worked.
Damn it, Brad.
That's your nickname, by the way. So you can't blame Brass for that one. Siobhan. We had guys like Blake Griffin on the way to a buyout. I don't know how much he does for this team. I do like the fact. I do like the idea of a backup four that's not named Andre Iguodala, so that he doesn't have to play every single night. This is a grueling season. I know, because I have to do a post game show after every game. So like, this season has been grueling, and you got guys with old legs out there like playing night in, night out. And a guy like Blake Griffin, he's not a spring chicken, but. Yeah. Just to alleviate some of those minutes on Iggy, like, do you see a move like that in the buyout market? How do you see them ending up? What seed? Like, where do you see them ending? I mean, going into the second half of the season.
Ooh, Alf, your internet's going through a third quarter right now, man.
Is it? I told you, I feel like I'm glitching like crazy tonight.
You out here like KZ.
You out here like KO on defense.
Yeah, KZ.
KZ. Oh, Alf.
Did we lose?
Go ahead, Siobhan.
So
let me see if I can go in.
So I think that, right, so so we've gotten this far with what we've had, right? We have like what, the seventh or eighth or ninth easiest remaining, you know, strength of schedule. Given that, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we don't see a move made and they just try to thug it out, because in theory they've gotten through what would have been like the toughest part, the bumpy part, but then not really, also because the second half, you know, you'll see more team buying and jockeying for possession, or I'm sorry, for position in the standing. So I don't know. I would like to see a move made. I think we so greatly, you know, need some reinforcements at the four. I don't consistent Andre minutes there isn't the answer. I really, really, really like KZ. I like what he can maybe, you know, grow into. But at this very moment, he, at least what we're saying right now, he's not far enough along yet. And that's an important position on this team. So I don't know. I guess we make a move. There's moves, a Blake, something about a Thaddeus, something about how you feel about a DeMarcus. G likes this dude named Harrison.
Something right. About Mary. It's everybody.
By the way, Harrison Barnes, like, I hear Johnny talks about Harrison Barnes so much that I was on board, but now I'm completely off. I don't want Harrison Barnes now because he just talks about him too damn much.
But it makes sense. It fits. Like, so there are maybe moves that can be made. And we were talking too, like, you know, we hope that little string of success doesn't, you know, paint this mirage that all of the issues are fixed, because it's fucking not. And so, you know, we see if they go to address them.
It's the beauty of Pat Riley, though. Pat Riley's not going to get blinded by 7-1
right.
Finish the first half. He's just not.
Right.
Will you say that but we saw a 30-11 team where everyone got 4-year deals, $72 million. Pat has gotten more sentimental in his old age, and I do worry a little bit.
I know, and you're right. Look, that's a fair example. I just think within season, especially given the run they made last year, that he got that taste again of what the finals is like. I just don't think he's going to look at this team and say, man, because for this team, right, for this roster to make the finals, what needs to happen? Avery Bradley has to come back and be Avery Bradley and stay healthy. Gordon has to, like, not lose a wheel the rest of the season and play these major minutes and be Gordon, which is great, but do you really count on that for the rest of the season? Jimmy cannot get hurt. He's got to be Jimmy. Bam has got to keep stepping up his game. And KO has to be kind of the KO we saw tonight.
Duncan has to make shots.
Duncan's got to be Duncan again.
And Jimmy.
And Tyler. I mean, we haven't talked about it, but Tyler was
awesome. Yeah, we ain't going to talk about him tonight.
For the Heat to be a finals team again.
Yep.
To get the chance to be a finals team, is all that going to happen? I don't think so.
Yeah. Right.
I think we can be honest and say it's not. So they need reinforcements.
Without a Moose.
Yep.
What we've talked about with this show over and over, Moose, is that this everything has to break perfectly for this team to contend. Exactly. The way this roster is built up, I compare them to a Jenga puzzle. Right, they are solid as fuck, but you start moving pieces and it gets real creaky. Whereas other teams can survive losing a piece, but the Heat can't survive some of these small pieces like a Duncan being out for a few games in a playoff series might completely collapse what they do on offense. Yeah. So this team, as presently constructed, needs every piece to be healthy all the time, and I guess that's where we're saying it's not a winning. It's not a winning formula.
They scored 80 points 2 days ago against the Hawks.
Yeah. Against the worst defense in the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all you need. You need 80 points. They can't. Yeah.
You need every player to play their absolute best game.
Yep.
At every single minute, at every single point. Like, it's just, it's too much, you know? Mm-hmm. Alf, you said it yourself that this team is at its best when it's 100% completely intact. But that's not gonna happen, even on a championship run. Like, it's a long stretch, and you're gonna need to have these up and down moments where you can survive. And this team just doesn't have that in them right now. There's definitely moves to be made that have to be made.
Yep.
Definitely another stretch four. If you can get another point guard, I've been saying that the entire time, get someone to run the offense. But they need to find ways to just get it going again in the second half, because. There's moves that they need to do.
You also need other dual threat guys. There's still far too many, like, one dimensional, can only get you one thing, can only, you know, be super efficient at one thing type of people on those teams. And like you said, well, you're relying on all of the stars of this Miami Heat universe to align properly to even, like, come even, you know, reasonably close to where they found themselves last year. And that's not reasonable. That's not, you know, a rational thing to expect. But that doesn't mean that you kind of sit on your hands and let the rest of the season go to shit. There are still, you know, ways to be competitive and moves to make so that you're not wasting an entire year of a Jimmy, that you're not, you know, that this year wasn't completely for nothing. So I hope that they still look, you know, at the various ways that they have at which to improve the team.
We got some questions from the chat. Moose, did your apartment get bigger?
Is that what I did there? Just turn it around. You don't need to know.
Moose like an IG model playing with the angles.
Yeah.
All about them angles.
Hey, show Will that your refrigerator's in your living room. Show him that.
Oh. Come on. It's not in my living room. Don't
you embarrassing him in front of company.
It's right. In my kitchen. The problem is my kitchen is in my living room.
There you go.
The issue is that his bed is in his backyard.
Listen, I do a live shot every day because I work from home now. Because my bathroom's over there, so it's like I'm doing a live shot like 5 feet from my bathroom. So it's, and then my bed's over here, so it's all good, man.
There you go. See? I don't need to do all this walking around shit.
I don't need all this space.
Anything is possible.
But Moose, that's what I'm... Moose, Manso's showing his bedroom. That's your entire apartment. You can reach...
No, I mean, like, I got a door over there. And...
Supposedly. I like that you can play guitar and grab a drink from the fridge at the same time. It's
can somebody multi-tap.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I'll hit this question.
Somebody answer Buddy
Boy 77 asks, third time asking, I think we should acquire a starting power forward and move Kelly to a non-starting position. We'll free up Leonard in the offseason. So who will free up Leonard in the offseason? So who would you like to see us getting as a starting power forward? I don't think a starting power forward is out there for the getting, personally. No.
Not for three quarters.
No. Yeah, what do you have to give?
What are we giving?
What do you, is this a long-term answer? No, and anybody you get now is either a scrap heap person that might be a fill-in, or if you go long-term, then you're eating into money in the future. I don't think that that's what they're doing right now. I don't think that, I just don't think there's options out there. No. I just don't see what's out there to do it, you know? Honestly, PJ and Vic, right?
Jay Grell is asking, honestly, what would it take to get PJ and Vic with all these leaks that Vic has his eyes set on Miami?
What about injuries Vic keep having? Like, I mean, what are we doing bringing in somebody else who's in a wheelchair?
Who's creaky, right?
Yeah, my take on Victor Oladipo, and I love Victor as a player, and I think he's a good guy, and I think he obviously loves Miami, and he's made it no secret, but I think if the Heat wanted Victor Oladipo, I think they would have gotten him already. I think they would have found him.
Agreed.
You know, I'm not saying that it couldn't happen, but I just think there's been too much opportunity there to make it happen. And for some reason, I don't think the Heat, it's really enticed the Heat to make it work.
Right.
I don't think now is the time either. I could be wrong. Look, we could be talking a couple of weeks they made a move, but I think they've had plenty of chances to get him and they haven't. You know?
Do you really believe, though, that it was because over the course of the bubble that he was, like, too eager, that he was, you know, a bit too thirsty to want – because I feel like that just doesn't make sense.
I don't believe that for a minute.
I mean, Jimmy was thirsty as hell to be here too.
Right. Yeah. Let me just say something. Yeah, he dropped 33 last night. How many games has he played because of injury this season? We can't keep adding dudes for a hope and a maybe.
Yeah.
And he
stays injured.
And John Carlos pushing for Harrison Barnes. That's another guy who is.
Oh, gee.
Okay.
I mean, I like Harry B.
It just depends on what you got to give up.
The player, but the contract and the future. Like, is he a guy that you want to bring in and say he's a part of my core for the future? I mean, I don't think so. If it was like, look, if he was an expiring contract, you can make a deal where you can get him, and yeah, sure. But I just don't see how the fit is there financially and player movement wise to make it work. I like the player. I like Harrison Barnes. I do. I just don't see how that works.
Stop calling him Harry B.
I'll trade Harry B for Novice G.
Will said he sounds like one of the
Spice Girls. Spice Girls.
The bad girl.
That's the bad girl.
Bad girl. Bad girl, Harry B.
I think if you can, work him and like, I don't think that that's a terrible, you know, third or wherever tier he is among the ladder in your hierarchy. Like, I don't think that that's someone terrible to incorporate into your structure going forward. But then they have to get, like, serious and, you know, absolute on what they want the team to look like going forward. Like, Heat fans, us, we got to – some of the people that you like are – going to have to go, and like it's just going to have to come to that point if you expect any type of actual competitive, you know, forward, you know, climb. I like Harry. I think the fit works. I think he addresses some of the he's size and he can get his own bucket. He can apply pressure vertically and he can shoot. So, you know, I think that was G's best take, honestly.
The only
pretty gay. The Rudy Gay talk, how long, by the way, guys, I've been covering the Heat for 20 years, and I think we've been talking about Rudy Gay for 20 years, 20 plus years. I mean, every year it's watch Rudy Gay to the Heat. I mean,
it feels like him and LaMarcus, too.
And Trevor Ariza.
Trevor Ariza.
I feel like they've already played here for like 12 years.
Yeah. But I do like, look, Rudy he's still going. What's Rudy, 35? He's still going, man. He can still play. I'd be down for that. I think Rudy Gay would be a helpful player for this team. Again, how do you make it work? Who do you get rid of? How do you do it? That's what they've got to figure out.
And I think what you guys are hitting on a really good point, that it's not going to be a starter. I don't think you're going to find it when they make this move. It's going to shore up the backup point guard position, the backup power forward position. I think that's where you're going to get. And someone brought up George Hill and Rudy Gay. Those are names. I see names like that. George Hill and Blake Griffin.
Yes.
It's going to be those kinds of guys where, just like last year, where we never thought the Jay Crowder, Iggy, Solomon Hill thing, where we didn't think Jay Crowder was going to be this answer for us. But they're going to need somebody to kind of shake up the team. And I don't know if it's going to be a starter, because honestly, Kelly Olynyk is – him and Bam have historically been very good next to each other. Like I said before, the problem is just you're counting on Iggy. And when you're playing another big team, and Tiff and Siobhan have banged on this over and over and over again, when they play big teams and then they come off the bench with Iggy at the four, you just start getting mollywopped down there. Like, you have no size. You have nobody to bang with these guys. So I do like the Blake Griffin thing, especially on a buyout. And the rest of these guys is, what do you have to give up for them? But I think it's going to be something to shore up the bench. I don't think you're getting starters.
Right.
I really don't.
Yeah.
Well, to get Blake, though, there's one key move you have to make, and that's you have to dig him out of the hole that E. Reed buried him in.
Oh, yes. Yes. He murdered him on live TV.
On live TV?
On live TV.
Man, that's all the fucking family that cares about
Right.
him.
There's still fans that love that man.
You know what I'm saying?
I think Blake Griffin and Eric Reed got to shoot the fair one.
People watch that man jump over a car. People love him still.
I mean, it was a Kia.
Hey, don't knock a Kia. I got a Kia. Oh. What's wrong with a Kia?
There you go.
I can't jump over it, but I love my Kia.
Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.